Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Below the Yellow Line. We've had a host of guests on the show, ranging from drivers, crew chiefs, broadcasters. We have another driver with us today, Colin Garrett. Colin, thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to jump right in here, because before you were racing professionally, before you were making your debuts in the Truck Series, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, you had to get started somewhere, right? You didn't just, you know, start in an Xfinity car at 2 years old. So what was your start in racing? When was the first time you went to a racetrack, and when did you realize that you wanted to do this as your career?
Oh, man, the first time I went to the racetrack, I can't even think about when that was. So my family didn't race growing up. It was kind of weird how I got into it, you know, just because I had no family motivation. So my babysitter, this is our best guess, is my babysitter, when I would go over to her house, they would all watch NASCAR on Sundays, and I would just, you know, kind of watch it with them. And I believe they took me to South Boston Speedway for the first time when I was probably 7 or so. And I feel like from then on, and even before that, I already loved NASCAR, I guess, just from being with them. But once I went to the racetrack, you know, that was kind of it. And then growing up in South Boston, obviously Martinsville Speedway is our close cut track, so we'd go over there in the falls and watch with my dad. And you know, he didn't really care, but it was, you know, something that I enjoyed, so he wanted to take me over there. So yeah, it was kind of weird. I guess that's how it all started. We haven't really had like a set, like, you know, I didn't get in a cart, you know, when I was 2 years old or anything. I just always loved racing. I had a four wheeler that I'd race around as a kid, pretend I was Jeff Gordon or whoever. And yeah, it's kind of where it all started. And then I didn't actually set foot into a race car until I was 14 years old. And that was when it all started. So it was super late.
Yeah, that's a unique story. I'm not sure I've heard that before. Heard a lot of ways that guys have gotten started in racing, but that's certainly a unique one. Everybody kind of has their own unique story. That's what I love about the sport, is everybody has a unique way that they got into it, either as a fan or in your case, as a driver. You were mostly full-time. I think you ran all but maybe two or three races, I think, in 2018 and 2019 in the K&NE series. So kind of take us through how that deal came together and what it was like running full-time on a touring series level.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was originally, so 2017, I just won a slim to late model championship over at South Boston Speedway. In 2018, the plan was for me to go race late model stocks full time. I had already been racing full time, but run for a championship at Dominion Raceway that year. And we planned on running, I think, 3 or 4 camps that year. And at the time, I was racing for Sellers Racing, which is Peyton Sellers and his brother HC Sellers, who run that operation. And they're kind of, you know, the best in late model world. And they had the K&N operation out of there, and everything was just, you know, smooth sailing at the time. And it just seemed like the next natural step was to go in the K&N car, obviously, for a few races. Well, we got going at Dominion. We run strong. It was back when Philip Morris was still running. So it was me and Philip Morris, and I think Jeff Oakley maybe full time. We're just getting after it every week in the late models. And then we ran our first K&N race over at Langley Speedway in April, I want to say, with those Hunt Sellers guys. And we ran third for most of the race, and I think finished sixth. And at the end of the day, South Boston was like 2 weeks later, and we were like, oh man, let's run South Boston. Like, this went so well. And we went and ran South Boston, and that went well too. And it just kept kind of progressing. And then we were like, well, let's go to Memphis in a few weeks. And then before we knew it, you know, we finished out the rest of the season when, you know, we were originally just deciding we were going to run, you know, 3 or 4 races. So it developed very quickly. You know, if we'd known we were going to do that, we probably would have gone to New Smyrna and Bristol earlier in the year. But yeah, so it went really well. And then in between 18 and 19, we didn't know if we were going to run it again. And we ended up doing it. And we went and ran again with the intentions of going full time in K&N in 19. You know, we went to New Smyrna and started off actually really good as New Smyrna. We should have won that race until, you know, a current cup driver took us out of contention there towards the end of it. And but, you know, we run really well that year. And we always had fast cars, but our crew chief, we just had a new crew chief like every week. And it was just kind of a cluster of, you know, we would show speed sometimes and we just miss it. And it was pretty annoying. And we got to Gateway, I think, and we were getting kind of over it in the whole deal. Like, that was when K&N's kind of dying, and the money just was not there to – we weren't racing for anything. And it was just kind of stupid with the amount of money we're spending, like I said, the crew chief. And so – and then there's a kerfuffle, I guess, with the official at Gateway that they parked us for practice over – nothing. I mean, it was stupid, and that was basically kind of the final straw. And we're like, you know what, we're done. And we didn't run the last few races of the year. Well, then we had kind of already been discussing going Xfinity racing with Sam Hunt, and that kind of been progressing. So we're like, you know what, we'll just fully focus on that. And that's kind of where that whole program, you know, shifted focus. That was the moment that we're like, all right, full-blown Xfinity racing now. So
So 2019 ended up being a big year for you. That was the year that you made your debut in both the Truck Series at Las Vegas and then the Xfinity Series at Richmond for MBM. So take us through how those deals came together. And you know, that's a big jump going from K&N to, oh, it's the Truck Series now. It's the Xfinity Series. It's a big jump to race with those guys on a national level in front of millions on TV and tens of thousands more in the stands. So what was it like driving in the Truck Series, driving in the Xfinity Series for the first time? And how big of a leap is it to go from, you know, the K&N level to trucks and to Xfinity?
Yeah, I forget I ran for MBM there for the first race. I always think of our first race with Sam Hunt Racing there. So I completely forgot about that. Yeah, so the reason why we went and ran with MBM and Nice and all that was we were fully focusing on the Sam Hunt Racing Xfinity deal at the time because, you know, we were putting a lot into that team and kind of, you know, growing it to what it is now, you know, at the time. And it was, you know, with the sole intention of just doing that. So we went to Richmond with MBM to get approved, to go to, you know, a mile and a half. So we did the MBM deal at Richmond. We ran actually really good. And then, our pit crew put the tires on the wrong sides and, it killed us. We went three laps down, I think in like stage three, and then finally bolted the tires back on in the right way. And we were back being fast. So it kind of killed our run there. And then, the whole Nice Motorsports deal, we had a transmission issue at Vegas, and I couldn't get out of the box every pit stop. I'd push in the clutch and put it in gear, and it would just stall before I even released the clutch. So it was all kind of frustrating issues that we had, and I feel like it's kind of like my whole NASCAR career was just like little frustrating things. Like, we'd have a good run going, and then, you know, some little stupid thing would happen. But as far as like driving wise, like Xfinity at Richmond actually wasn't that crazy. I'd been there 2 weeks prior for past super late models in a super, obviously, with Fathead Racing. And we had run, I mean, we're freaking flying. Our times, I think we were 2 seconds faster than cup cars around there. I mean, it was ridiculous. And when I got in the Xfinity car, it was just big, heavy boat, essentially. And I had to check myself up. I went down in there and my only break point was from my super. And so I sailed it off in there like I was in my super. I was like, "Whoa, this thing does not stop." So in that aspect, it was easier. But once we got to Vegas in the truck, I remember they were like, "All right, so we're probably gonna be wide open around here on stickers, you know, in the first few laps." And I was like, "Holy crap." And so we start going out there and I was in a draft with, I don't know, a bunch of the top guys, and just trying to, you know, learn. And we go down in turn one, and this is when Tyler Dipple is running, and he was like two trucks in front of me. And we go down in turn one and hit that bump or whatever. He gets loose and he just like disappears from the draft. Like, he got loose out of the draft and he was gone. And I was like, where did he? Like, it was just so fast. That was kind of the biggest, like, holy crap moment. You know, when I made the transition. So, yeah. And then going to Homestead in the Xfinity car with Sam Hunt Racing, that's kind of what I feel like was my debut. It felt just much more, I don't know. Everything was together. It was with my normal team and everything that I'd been racing K&N for. So, I don't know. It just felt kind of at home. And when we went and did that, I had no idea what I was doing. I think we qualified like 14th or 15th. And I went around there and I had, Cole Custer sent me his notes before the weekend. He's like, "Here you go, you know, just check these out." And I'm like, "All right, cool." So I'm looking over them, and you know, he has like brake at, I don't know, the two board or whatever going to turn one, yada yada yada. And because where we were on points, we're the second car to go out, And the first car to go out was BJ McLeod in like the four car or something. And he goes out there and, you know, I'm looking there at the end of pit road at like the two board where, you know, I hypothetically should be braking. And he drives like 6-7 car lengths past that board. And I'm like, oh, this is big. Like, this is about to be a big deal. And I go out there and I was like, okay. So I just kind of sent it off in there and, you know, it stuck and ended up being a pretty decent lap actually for me not knowing what I was doing. But then the race was just a big learning experience, I think, for everyone. So it was, I think we were running well within the top 15 there at the end of the race. And then we had a right rear wheel or something loose on the last pit stop. So kind of killed our run, but it was a good day overall.
Yeah, sending a car off in qualifying trim into the first corner at Homestead when you're about to rip the wall seems like one of the most terrifying things that the human race has ever dreamed up, in my opinion. Watching guys run laps around Homestead and saying, all right, car's trimmed out, just, you know, floor it down into turn one, see if it'll stick, you know, 2 inches between you and the wall. You mentioned running for Sam Hunt. You made your truck debut for Nice Motorsports. And those teams, especially Nice, I feel like have changed so much. You know, in the 5-6 years since you drove for them, Nice was a championship contender with Carson Hocevar. Now they're, you know, almost winning with Caden Honeycutt when he's in that truck. Sam Hunt just got a top five at Portland this past weekend with Ed Jones, and they look more competitive every week. Is it cool to be, you know, maybe more so with Sam Hunt than you were with Nice, but is it cool to see those teams grow and expand and develop into contenders and say, hey, you know, I had a part in that. I was part of that, the original group there, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't really have any loyalty or anything towards Nice. You know, I ran two races, I think, out of there and with the intentions of running more, but it just didn't work out anyway. But over there at Sam Hunt, I mean, it's like, That's my family. I went over there to Charlotte for the Xfinity race last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. And, I mean, it's right at home. I go in the Xfinity garage, I see all the Sam Hunt guys. And I mean, everyone's just like, it's like I never left, you know? So I walk in the shop and it's my family. So, it's weird not being there anymore, but it's super cool to see kind of what it's grown into. So the shop they're in now, they were moving into, right. So I ran my last Xfinity race was Martinsville in 21, and they were moving in there like right then. So I actually did all my press stuff and out of the conference room in that shop. So we were there like, you know, redoing everything. And now I walk in there today, it's like, holy crap. I mean, it's a full blown operation. And sadly, you know, they've gone down to one car this year, but to see what it's become, it's just, it's so cool. I mean, the relationship that Sam's built with JGR and Toyota has been really cool. So, you know, we've been working on all that when I was, you know, racing, and it's just, it's grown so much since then. They have, you know, good drivers in and out of there every year. And, you know, I'm hoping they can get somebody full time, to run that car. Cause those cars have pace, but just haven't been able to put one together. Now they've had so many just stupid mechanicals this year that, you know, haven't necessarily been anyone's fault. It's just, you know, stuff breaks, so they just had it happen a lot this year, and they can't understand why, but anyway.
Yeah, it is cool to see that team grow. I saw today they signed a new sponsorship deal with Yahoo, so they're always growing, and whether it be sponsors or, like you mentioned, pace on the racetrack, I mean, they've been really fast. That relationship with Joe Gibbs Racing, that's going to help any team that has that, so it's been cool to see them grow over the years. Colin, thank you so much for joining the show tonight. We really appreciate it, and yeah, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.